Welcome to God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech you to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds, we may serve and please you. Into your hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let your holy angels have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. We were driving when we came to a T in the road. We were somewhere in Washington, and the road we were coming up to wasn't supposed to be there. It turned out that we were 100 miles off. My brother and I argued about how we got where we were and whose fault it was, but the bottom line, we were not where we were supposed to be. That's probably the reason I got to see the Yakima Valley, because there is no other way I would have gotten there. We make mistakes in life. Oftentimes it is outright sin that puts us in the wrong place. And we can be more lost than being on the wrong road in Washington. God's people in the Old Testament had gotten off track. The people of the northern kingdom of Israel had disappeared as a nation, and the people of the southern kingdom of Judah were going to be on their way to being 600 miles from home, lost in Babylon, and they wouldn't even know it for another 120 years. This is when we get the words of Isaiah 61, 1-7. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall build the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. The central question to this lesson is this: what does God want from his people? God really wants people to be on the right track, on the right road, in the right place. Why? That's the big idea in this lesson from Isaiah. God wants his people to be a solid resource in a troubled world. Well, let's begin by looking at this situation in Isaiah. The world is a messed up place. There is much suffering in the world. Bad things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Fault is not the issue. But God desires good for his people. He sends help for those who are lost. He provides what is needed. He gives his word and his hope. He sends the prophets. He provides hope for those that have no hope. He targets hope for the poor. He sends help to those who grieve. He gives freedom to those who are bound up. He opens fetters. He promises that he will do right. He comforts those who mourn. He will restore those that have no hope. He will bring restoration from destruction, giving beauty for ashes. He will bandage the wounded, pouring the oil of joy on the wounds of suffering. He will give reason for rejoicing, so that the garment of praise will replace the spirit of heaviness. These words from Isaiah are words of hope. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Isaiah writes, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Well, we might ask, where do we fit in God's desires for good for his people? We still have captive people, literally, in Sudan, Darfur, Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, especially women and children. We understand that sin continues to bind mankind, tie him in knots, control him. No wonder that we need to be well-oiled believers, a light for people to know the Lord. The point is this. We know the kind of place we live in. We know that there are some good things on earth, but we know that there is misery around us as well. We know that things are not as they ought to be. Face it, this is a messed up world, a world that needs a Savior. It needs the Savior. Do you see why God wants his people to be a solid resource in a troubled world, a people that can point to the Savior? Well, look at the earth. God's work is obvious even in such a messed up place. Isaiah prophesied from 740 BC till around 700 BC. His tenure covered good kings and bad kings. His message was simple and straightforward. God is holy. Sin separates man from God. Only God can forgive. God is righteous and will judge sin. God is love, and he longs to forgive. God has good in store for his faithful. The people of Israel and Judah had separated themselves from God by their sin. Israel was essentially dismantled by the Assyrians in 720 BC. Its people were transported to another area in Mesopotamia, and another people were moved into what we call Samaria. Some of those people from Israel had fled to Judah and became amalgamated with the people of Judah. Judah did not learn from Israel's plight and was essentially deported itself in 587 BC. Its people and leadership were transported to Babylon. We call it the Babylonian captivity. The people were restored to Judah 70 years later, but there was little of their civilization left. Neither Israel nor Judah learned about the cause of their demise. It was sin. Isaiah prophesies hope. God does not give up on his people. God establishes his people. He may discipline them, yes, but he does not destroy them. Solid people, the ones that learn from punishment of sin, are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. God's people become the world's window to God that he may be glorified. They will honor the Lord in what they have been given. They will restore what has been lost due to sin. They shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. You see, there is hope even when there is loss. Listen to these words of hope from Isaiah 61. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Believers today, like Isaiah then, must be a source of hope for a sinful world. He may discipline them, but God plants them. Remember the tree analogy? People need to bloom where they are planted. Dirt. There's dirt around us, around our families, around our friends, our neighbors, our communities, around our nation and our world. But have you looked at your pot, the place where you are planted? How does God want you to grow? The point is this. When the Twin Towers in a city like New York come down, a civilization knows it. That's what had happened to the whole nation of Israel, just a few blocks in New York, but a whole capital in Israel. Jerusalem was totally destroyed. The actual residual government of the area had to be moved out of Jerusalem because nothing was left there. Things were so messed up that it was obvious to Isaiah of how a savior would change Judah. It would take restoration. God in control. God with mankind. Isaiah puts on his future glasses and tells Judah to look for the coming Savior. Yes, God's work through a Savior is very apparent in this messed up world of ours. Do you see why God wants his people to be a solid resource in a troubled world, a people that can point to the Savior? Well, let's look at the Lord's work in his people. God's people will know that it is the work of the Lord. The people of Israel and Judah had missed seeing the God that had led them out of Egypt. Sin and its consequences had blinded them from seeing his hand at work in the world. Events that were punishment for crimes against God had blinded them from seeing God's love for them. God's restoration would be so clear that no way could they miss what God was doing in the world. Other peoples will care for their needs. Other people will care for the crops and the livestock. The restoration will establish the people of Israel and Judah as God's people in the eyes of the world. God will ultimately honor the very people who had given up. God's blessing of the Jewish people will be apparent to all comers. God's blessing will preclude anyone from passing over what is due the Jewish people. The people will be restored to a position of joy in the Lord. It is just as Paul writes to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Well, that's what Isaiah says in Isaiah 61, 5 and 7. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles and be in their glory. You shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their position. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. He's talking about the Jewish people. People who are the most down are the ones most ripe for God. People can be down because of family, job, economy, politics, relationships, you name it. Who are those depressed and burdened in your life? Might God be using you in their lives? The point is this. Things have to get pretty bad before we know we're in a hole. When you're in the sand and your wheels are spinning, you really don't know how stuck you are until your axle settles in that sand. Don't things have to get pretty bad before we look to God? That was the situation of the people of Judah to which Isaiah was prophesying. Those people only saw good things, but misery was coming. Yes, they knew that things were not as they ought to be, but they did not know they needed a Savior until they were in Babylon with no way back to God's promised land. It was when they saw the messed up world that they recognized the need for a Savior. It was only then that they could recognize that only God can set things straight. As things get more and more messed up in our world, we still need the Savior that we look forward. Do you see why God wants his people to be a solid resource in a troubled world, a people that can point to the Savior?
Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning devotional is brought to you by your friends at Historical Zion Lutheran Church in Silver Hill. We believe that the Lord calls on his people to worship him and share his word. Zion Lutheran Church is located on the corner of 7th Street and 4th Avenue, one block south of State Highway 104, near the Silver Hill Library. We share the Lord's Supper on the first and third Sundays of the month. Want additional information? Go to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or call us at 945-5209.